Right. Good evening. And thank you for having me. I said to Tracy when I sat down that I didn't realize I was the speaker today. So during a church service. but anyway, fully prepared after 21 years. I think I can do this probably in my sleep. Is that feedback okay or is that normal? That doesn't sound weird. Okay. All right. So first, I just want to say a big thank you to this congregation. I see many familiar faces who come and help us pack our nutrition assistance program for seniors boxes. So volunteer hours are certainly a part of this church's mission. Certainly the financial support you've provided and some food. We've gotten some food donations from your congregation. And I think I totaled it up before I came. And in the last year, you guys have helped us provide 16,682 meals to our Northland neighbors in need. So that's a pretty incredible contribution, and I just want to say thank you to you. That's a whole lot of meals. I want to start tonight with a story so I can kind of paraphrase how you help us feed people in our region. It's been a few years now, but we were introduced to a family. It was a blended family of four children, and a parent household who had been remarried. So they brought both brought two children into their family. Rachel was a mother of two, and of course, David, a father of two others. So again, they brought this blended family together. Rachel was a nurse at Lake Walk Surgery Center. She was part-time as a nurse. Her husband, actually, this is about the time we had some economic issues, so in the early 2012, 2013. And her husband was a plumber, and during that time, of course, construction work was hard, and he had a difficult time finding work. This with the fact that they had a little boy together, and he was 5 years old, and he was diagnosed with what's called recurrent respiratory papilloma. And basically what that diagnosis meant is that he had a recurrent growth in his throat that required surgical intervention every 2 weeks down at the Children's Hospital down in the Twin Cities. So it wasn't certainly a diagnosis they expected. It wasn't medical treatment that they expected having to supply for their child. And when we first met them, they were actually using one of our programs, the Mother and Children program, so that their children would have access to food, as well as Rachel. And they were also using a food shelf that we helped supply food to. So, again, a surprise diagnosis, a mother who's working part-time and a father who was really having difficulty having regular work as part of the construction trade, you know, were forced with this difficult decision that they needed to find food. So, of course, our program was there to help them. Things turned around for their family. You know, when we checked in with them a few years later, we learned that David, the husband, had actually went back to school, and he decided he was going to be a welder. He's got his certification. He was finding, or he actually had been employed full-time. He had actually found a full-time work, so that was good for their family. Rachel was so inspired by all of the intervention that she'd seen for her child that she decided she wanted to enroll in medical school. And last we heard, she was at Mankato State studying to earn her medical degree, and actually she wanted to be a pediatrician to help people like her son. And lastly, we heard that Michael no longer talked with such a whisper, as he, of course, had those many, many surgeries, and his surgical intervention was down to about a month in frequency. So it had actually improved for him. Of course, he wasn't completely cured, but certainly he had a better health prognosis than he had a few years earlier when we met him. And I think the importance of this story is that we often think we know who's hungry in our community, our region, and you know, we sometimes think it's those people that we don't know. And honestly, it's oftentimes like Rachel and Michael and David who experience these medical crises or a job loss, who really just need a short-term intervention of food to help them get by and to help their families get stable. So it's really just a good reminder of the fact that there are so many people in our region that you know, have a crisis like this that needs support. So thank you guys for being there, because certainly that's one of the many families through your meals over the years that you've helped us provide. So a little bit about our work, Second Harvest, and I know, again, many of you have visited our food bank and can see a little glimpse of what we do, but we're a pretty complex, big nonprofit organization, and I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. Second Harvest is the region's only food bank, and if you've been to our facility, you know that we're not a food shelf. So picture a very big, large warehouse-type facility. And our role really in the hunger relief picture is that we rescue nationally and regionally donated food that we bring into Duluth to our facility, and we turn around and distribute to about 180 nonprofit programs in northeastern Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin. So we're essentially the only food bank that serves food to other nonprofit charitable feeding programs in our region. So I saw that you're speaking, that Salvation Army is speaking and CHUM is speaking. Those are two of the agencies that do get food through Second Harvest. So what we're trying to do is be kind of a surplus wholesaler of donated goods to those nonprofit programs and really help them stretch their dollars. So we know in the U.S. that about 27% of the food produced in the United States is thrown away as waste. And that's really where food banks come in, is we're there to rescue that product and make sure that somebody in our region has access to that. So when you think of the programs served by us here in the Duluth area, think of Salvation Army, the CHUM programs, Damiano, Lifehouse, Bethany Crisis Shelter, Boys and Girls Club, all of those charitable folk programs that provide food to people in need. That's the majority of our work is food banking, again, supplying other nonprofit programs. And in fact, we provide food to 45 food shelves in this entire region in northeastern Minnesota, northwestern Wisconsin. So a pretty large impact that we have, not only here in our local community, but region-wide through St. Louis, Carlton, Lake and Cook Counties, Douglas, Bayfield, and Ashland and Iron Counties in northwestern Wisconsin. In addition to that, we provide our food to four direct service programs. So that means we actually serve the public directly. And again, many of you have participated in helping us volunteer through those programs. The one that's most probably commonly known to you all is the Nutrition Assistance Program for Seniors. And that's a program where you come in and help us fill boxes of commodity foods that we then mobilize for about 900 seniors in northeastern Minnesota. So those boxes, after you pack them, go out to 23 different program sites, and we serve 900 seniors a month with that program. So very important program that helps feed seniors in our region, and you all have a part in that. We have a food shelf on site, and I'm not sure if you've provided service through our food shelf, but we do offer a food shelf program, even though I said we're not a food shelf, to Hermantown residents and those north of our area. And our food shelf is set up really kind of nicely. It's called a Healthy Choice Food Shelf. And what it does is it looks like a retail grocery store. There's grocery carts, there's volunteers that help people shop, and individuals and families get to choose the products that are right for their dietary needs or special requirements that they have. And it's really kind of a fun setup because we've gotten funding from Essentia Health. And what we've tried to do is offer like healthy choice first. So if you go into our food shelf, it's set up much like a grocery store. So there'll be fresh produce and then dairy and meat and all of those good products. And at the end is the baked goods. So we supply food to about 775 people per month as part of our food shelf program. Our next program is our mobile food pantry program. And that's a program where we actually go into communities where there's a high need but low food resources. So the communities we currently serve are Hurley, Wisconsin, Solon Springs, and then down in Cloquet. And basically, that's like a food pantry on wheels. So that's a truck that we fill with food. We have people drive up. It's drive-up service. We put all of our pallets out on the ground. People are identified as how many people they have in their household. So they might get a little number on their windshield that says four people. They drive through our mobile food pantry. Volunteers are putting food right in their car or the back of their trunk, their back seat. Sometimes they're loading it on kids' laps. and then once their household has been served, they just drive right home. And hopefully we come to Duluth, back to Duluth with an empty truck. So it's really a nice way to provide service without having to have bricks and mortar of a food shelf, but actually in a more mobile setting. And lastly, probably the program that is most familiar to most people that know Second Harvest, and that's our backpack program. And how many of you are familiar with the backpack program? If I can ask, quite a few. That's usually how people know us. So a little bit of history about that program. It actually was started back in 2005, back in 1995 in Little Rock, Arkansas. And it was started when a school nurse noticed that kids were leaving school on Friday and returning much differently than when they had left the Friday before. So on Monday mornings, just kids weren't generally themselves. She reported nausea, headaches, kind of acting up in class, just really not, again, themselves. So she deducted during the weekend there must be an issue of hunger in their homes and helped start with her local food bank this national backpack program. So we partnered with the Superior School District back in 2010, and our role was really to access nutritionally easy to open, easy to prepare food that kids could actually bring home on weekends for themselves and or their siblings. And so now we have volunteers that come into our warehouse, of course, and pack that product into a little Super One bag. We mobilize that to 16 school districts in the region. And then kids are identified within their schools as having a need in their homes, and that food is slipped into their own book bag or backpack on the Friday of each week. So that program currently serves about 1,100 children per week as part of our backpack program. And I think just to wrap up, I'll just wrap up with another little story, and that's Mary Bakken, who's a kindergarten teacher down in Cloquet at the Washington Elementary School. She told us a story a few years ago about how the backpack program had impacted her school, and she talked about when children don't bring a snack to school, she'll pass out a scoop of cereal to all her little kids on that day, and she noticed a little boy that was separating his pile into two piles, and when she asked him, "What are you doing with your cereal?" he said, "If I don't eat it all now, I can actually bring it home, and my brother and I can eat it for dinner." So, real story of a real child that you helped feed in this region. So, thank you for having me. And again, thank you for the 16,682 meals you guys helped us provide to people just like that in our community. So, thank you all. Yes.
Judy, how many hours did Salem people give to Second Harvest last year?
I don't remember. I need a number.
Well, no. You gave them to Pastor Dick, and then he gave them to me. It was a lot.
I counted 227 hours.
227?
126 right. Pounds of food.
All right. Are there other opportunities for volunteers that somebody might say, "Ooh, I'd like to help out"?
Always. We have all kinds of volunteer opportunities. Again, you can be involved in those programs that we talked about, doing direct service. We have regular groups that occur on Monday and Wednesday mornings and afternoons where we're actually sorting and repacking food. So that's more of like a, you know, less people contact, but more of just sorting vegetables and fruits or labeling products. We have office opportunities, so whether that's data entry or phone calls or filing, if you like that kind of work, we kind of have something for everyone.
And when's our next naps?
Ooh.
This Friday's backpacking.
Right. This Friday. That's right, you guys. Yep.
Okay. And then the next Thursday? All right.
Hey, and if I can put a little call out, if you don't mind, Pastorelli. We had a group cancel for tomorrow night's backpacking. So if anybody is so inclined, 4:30 till 6:30 tomorrow night, we're also going to do backpack packing. So if you can't make it Friday,